That want to team up with what you're trying to do. So we received 60 sheets of drywall, 3,000 square foot of VCT tile. We've renovated our bathrooms. We probably need to do it again, but a couple, 3 years ago or so, we got 10 toilets, 10 sink faucets from Home Depot. In our church nursery, we did some work in there. We got a koala bear baby changing station, which is used regularly. One of those things, we got it from an old Kmart building, you know, that you mount on the wall there. Just all kinds of stuff. A full-size basketball goal post and rim from the Indy Parks Department. We had Jones Auto Body sandblasted and spray-painted and make it nice for us. We got all this stuff donated. We got cabinets and countertops from Lowe's. We got the handles for those counters and for those cabinets from Home Depot. So it's kind of funny, competing retail businesses, you know, but both of them donated to us. Big retail places donate. I always tell people this when they ask me about this type of stuff is to, you do better if you approach the mom and pops if you're soliciting donations. You go praying, but you've got to go. A lot of people don't like the work of soliciting donations and stewarding your nonprofit. It kind of goes against our grain a little bit. It's uncomfortable to ask somebody, hey, can you give this to us? You know, it's very uncomfortable. And the first time I ever did it, I'd been doing it, you know, soliciting donations from people, trying to steward my nonprofit status well. I've been doing that for 13 or 14 years now. And the first time I did it, I was told to get some pizza donated for a youth activity. And so I was very uncomfortable with that, calling and saying, hey, could I have some free pizza? I mean, that was kind of the idea, and it was really uncomfortable. And the fellow that's the development director at Good News Ministries is very, very good at what he does. And he said to me, he said, James, you're not necessarily asking, as he raises money for the homeless men, and he raises money and gets things donated for the ministry, he says, you're not really asking for yourself. You're asking on behalf of others. You know, you're trying to minister. This whole concept of a nonprofit. You know, I'm leading a nonprofit, but I'm not in it for my profit. I am in it to further the cause of the gospel and to meet the needs, if you're in a rescue mission environment, to meet the physical needs of other people. I could go on and on with things we've gotten donated. I said cabinets and countertops. Every computer in our building was donated just 3 or 4 weeks ago. We got 3 new computers donated to Temple Baptist Church. We've got light fixtures in our church hallway. We've got 2 motorcycles, 11 cars, 3 minivans, 3 buses, and 1 box truck. I mean, we've just gotten a lot of stuff donated. We have received office printers. About a month ago, we got 3 office printers. There was a hospital in Indianapolis, a major hospital in Indianapolis that went, moved or something. So they sold a bunch of, tried to auction off basically the whole hospital worth of supplies. A lot of folks went and were a part of that. And if you go, you know, with money, see, when you're, you know, when you don't have a big budget, you can't go to those kind of events. But if you know some people that went, you know, I'm going to get to a point about relationships, but I get a phone call that says, hey, they tried to auction stuff off, and people know that I'm always seeking donations and trying to steward my nonprofit status well, so I get a call out of nowhere and says, hey, if you want some printers, there's a room full of printers. You can come get some printers. They said, matter of fact, I'll get them for you. Tell me how many you want. So they were even, you know, got for me, so I appreciate that. But printers, we've got office furniture donated to our ministry. We have a nice little conference room with nice conference-style chairs, a conference-style table. A company went out, they sold their business and went into another business with somebody else, but a lot of the stuff they had in their business, they donated to us, a company called Integrated Home Technologies. We now have speakers throughout our building, most of the hallways and things. A couple years ago, we were able to install those. All those speakers were donated, so throughout the day, we can play music. We have a school ministry, and so the teachers can hear that same CD over and over and over and over, and it just adds a nice tone. All that those speakers were donated. The amplifier was donated. The CD player was donated. Really, really blessed to have this stuff. He donated 2 91-inch home theater-style screens. So we are a church with screens. Don't judge me, okay? But we have 2 91-inch screens, home theater-style screens. Our projectors, showcase what hymn number we're on and what the passage of Scripture is. We've got a Panasonic home phone system throughout our building so we can intercom one another. Teachers can talk to each other that way. So that's just some of the stuff, lots of stuff. A good Christian man from that company, Integrated Home Technologies, donated those things. There is a biblical basis for soliciting donation, and I find it not just the concept of you have not yes, if you don't ask, you don't have, but also, you know, 1 Corinthians 8, you find Paul using the churches of Macedonia as an example, you know, of good believers. And he is challenging the church at Corinth to give in that way. He is challenging the church at Corinth to give on behalf of the poor believers there at Jerusalem. And he is asking on behalf of somebody else in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And when you work in a nonprofit status, you are really asking on behalf of somebody else. And so you're not necessarily trying to get stuff to hoard it to yourself, but you're trying to present a quality ministry. You'd like to have a nice auditorium. You'd like to be able to showcase the gospel in an auditorium setting that is pleasing and palatable, if you will, and presentable to other people, and that honors Christ. That's the best thing that you can present. So a biblical basis for soliciting donations. I did a series of messages on 1 Corinthians 8, and I think 4 or 5 weeks on the concepts there on giving, and you all can study that passage. Folks from our church heard me deliver that, but you do see in there him encouraging people to give, and it's not really a tithe there. Some people get frustrated, you know, about the whole concept of tithing, you know, versus giving, you know, over and above your tithe and offering, and they have the idea that the church ministry, and I believe this to some degree, the church ministry should be 100% supported by the tithes of God's people. Let me tell you about our school ministry, and I want our people to tithe, and I want us to get to the point where it is. Our school ministry is a ministry of our church, but we raise every year almost 40% of the money that supports our school and keeps it going. We raise it from outside sources. Our tuition is very low, and as a result, our enrollment is reasonable because it's low. And so I'm just saying that the tuition doesn't pay for it. We have to praise God for the nonprofit status that we have, that currently, for now, our government allows us and steward it well to receive donations. So I talked a lot about the donations that we've received. I'll give you some concepts on soliciting donations. You know, nonprofits are definitely blessed to be able to solicit donations from people. I said mom and pops are the way most people start. There's a fellow right up the road from us on South Madison. His company is A Rental Service. Man, he's such a blessing to us. Now, he's in heaven. He's in eternity, I should say now. He was a sweet man to us, very kind to us. His wife is running the business. But anyhow, we had to renovate our playground. We didn't need to rent a skid steer. He just said, come get one, or he actually delivered one to us. It's a privately owned thing. A lot of that is easier. You just kind of build relationships, get to know people. Anytime I buy something in a place like that, I try to make sure I speak to the decision maker. Just a kind, cordial type of thing. Not necessarily, hey, can I have a donation? But just to build a relationship and establish a relationship with somebody. Not necessarily just talk to the clerk, but if you can find a window. You don't want to be obnoxious or intrusive, but if you can find a window to talk to the owner of the mom and pop, it's always a good thing. Brother Ward is good at stuff like that. He is a big personality, and he gets to the decision maker and talks to folks. But I encourage you to try to develop those kinds of relationships with people in your community, because as a result, you know, when I needed a skid steer and we didn't have the money to do it, somebody donated some playground equipment to us a couple years ago, the playground equipment the kids currently play on, and it was delivered in a trailer, but it was delivered, you know, laying down, and I couldn't get it up, you know, with enough men. It's all wood. I mean, it's huge. So anyhow, he just came over and dropped that off. So building those kinds of relationships is good. Somebody says, well, what do you say, you know? What do you say? Honestly, it's different every time. If you have a relationship with the person, it's a little bit easier. There's a lot of times I do cold call donation solicitations, but what do you say? I basically just express the need. If they're a Christian person, we hope, you know, Pastor Bonnie said this to me the other day on the phone. He said, you don't change the message, but sometimes you change the approach. I think that's a good statement. With everybody that I speak to in a donation setting, I'll change the approach just a little bit if I believe that they're a Christian, if I think they attend church somewhere. But it's really just a pitch. You know, it's just a sales pitch. You know, you're pitching a concept, an idea. So I just tell them what the need is, and then I approach them depending on, you know, because some people have a biblical concept of giving. There are actually people in this world that believe Luke 6:38, where it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." They really believe that, and I believe that, and I want to be a giver. And there are people you'll run into, if you approach them on a spiritual level, their spirit identifies with what you're trying to do. They say, "My mother-in-law just passed and is in heaven now, and she was the most giving, gracious person I've ever met in my life. She really believed if I give, it shall be given unto me. Good measure, you know, pressed down, shake it together, running over." The Bible promises great blessing. So I just explain the need and invite them to be a part of it. And then, depending on the circumstance, I will offer them things. I immediately offer them a merchandise receipt. "Sir, if you're willing to donate the use of a skid steer for 2 hours to our ministry, we will issue you a merchandise receipt." And when you use a phrase like that, merchandise receipt, people think you know what you're talking about. It's a good little phrase. It's just two simple words, but it sounds like you know what you're talking about. Hey, this is a legitimate nonprofit. It adds a level of legitimacy to what you're doing when you use a little phrase like merchandise receipt. And this is a sample merchandise receipt. If you'd like one, you can take one and pass them around. This is one that Dr. Mark Monty actually donated to Temple Baptist Church. So you'll get to see some of his donations as he's here in the classroom with us. But this, I dated it recently, but he actually donated this stuff a few years ago. He probably doesn't remember most of this stuff. But this is what we offer to people. What we offer to people is a merchandise receipt. And this jargon at the bottom is good jargon for you to have. I encourage you to imitate some of this jargon. This is the stuff I would produce at the rescue mission. I served as the business manager of the rescue mission. So, so you issue them a merchandise receipt. Maybe some of you are familiar with this. People will say to you, "You know, I told you we've received cars and buses and box trucks and motorcycles and all this." And people will say, when I'm picking up the motorcycle or whatever, "Now, Pastor, you know, I think this thing is worth $3,000, and we think this is a $3,000 donation to your ministry." And what I say to them is, that's just between you and your accountant, you know. So I'm not going to get in the business of evaluating what things cost, you know. So this merchandise receipt, if you read those couple paragraphs, identifies the fact that that's not the nonprofit's responsibility.
I would point out, though, Pastor Johnson, off of this receipt, I was able to claim $14,000.
Yes. That's between you and your accountant and the Lord, right? And the Lord. So I offer them a merchandise receipt, and then sometimes I offer them pub. You know, now some mom and pops and retailers are not interested in pub. I'll offer them pub, though. Yes, publicity. I do a local television show in our town in the Delaware County community, so I can offer them time on that. Now, it's public access, so it's free, but I can volunteer to put together. We've received laptops. We've received so many things. And when you get into bigger ticket items, it's a good thing to offer pub because some retailers or businesses want other people to see their good works, you know. Some of them don't. Some of them are like, "Nah, because if I give to you and you tell everybody I gave to you, then all the other nonprofits are going to come to me, and they only want to give to me." So some of them don't want pub, but I offer them pub. So I do a TV thing. We do, for a couple years there, we did a newsletter, and I would tell them, "Hey, I'll give you a merchandise receipt. I can put you on TV, a thank you on TV. I can get you in our newsletter," and we send it to 200 homes, you know, and, you know, a smaller newsletter, but still, you know, people are interested in some of that public kind of stuff. Some of that pub. So when I... Yes, publicity. Yeah, Brother Lopez mentioned them last night too. So some of that pub, you know, goes a long way. Some people are interested in that. And again, every situation is different, so I don't always offer those kinds of things. And if you offer it, be sure you're prepared to deliver it. That's so tacky when we offer it and then we're unable to deliver it. But I'm in several venues that I can promote other businesses. We try to use social media at Temple Baptist Church to promote things, publicly praise the Lord on Facebook for the donation of those computers or just whatever it is. And people appreciate that. People like that. The fellow that donated the computers to our ministry, brand new, you know, in a package, flat screen monitors. I mean, all this really nice stuff. He follows me on Twitter. You know, I follow him on Twitter. And so I tweeted something about how thankful I am. You know, and that goes a long way, and people appreciate that. You know, you got to just be careful about flattering people versus praising God for people. There is a distinction there, and I think we need to use discernment. But so those are some concepts about how to solicit a donation. I said at the very beginning, you've got to pray like everything depends on God. And you've got to work like it depends on you. I mean, and I don't want to not emphasize that part of prayer. Like, I mean, that's really an aspect. I often pray as I go into a place, God, use me in spite of me. I might be stammering, I might be goofy, I might not be fully with it today, but just help the words I say in spite of me to be blessed so that the ministry can receive your portion, whatever you'd have for us. That kind of brings me to the next thought here. As you steward your nonprofit, grant writing is a terrific thing for us to be able to be involved in as 501c3s. We do grant writing. We recently, on occasion, I don't do it as much as I used to. I should, really, but I just submitted one last week, and I'll tell you about that. But a couple years ago, we received the Lowe's Heroes Grant, or Lowe's Heroes Award. And this is, you know, a big retailer, obviously. So I talked about approaching the nonprofits. Whenever I go to Lowe's and buy something, again, I try to get to the store manager. I try to, in an unawkward way, if my path can cross with that store manager, it's a good thing that they see me and I talk to them. And Portia is the lady that runs the Lowe's in our town. And Portia felt led to give our ministry their Heroes Award. And so it was about a $6,000 renovation to our playground. They redid the fence. It's a black fence now with a rubber-coated chain-link fence around our park. They painted our playground equipment. They fixed our swings. They got another company involved, and they did a landscape, like three-story, three-level rock wall. I mean, just really nice stuff that they did for us. So we were awarded that, and really, all we did to get that was call Lowe's at the right time. I had a staff person call. I asked that staff person to pray before they call. I already had a relationship with the store manager from other situations. Here's the thing about retail, big retail companies, is they actually have money in their budget to give to nonprofits. They have these things every year that they're supposed to give away. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And the Lord worked out that timing where I already had a relationship. She knows of our ministry. Mrs. Norris at our school is the one that called. And Portia said, as a matter of fact, we've got to give away this money before the end of the year. Glad you called, you know. The way we got those cabinets was we were just in the right place at the right time. And talking with the store manager, ended up being in the warehouse. The store manager says, all these cabinets, it was a box truckload of cabinets, which only we use some of them. And in our ministry, we were able to sell others of them. But anyhow, if you can pick stuff up quick, by the way, as a nonprofit, people are very interested in you. You know, retailers, if they know you can get this stuff out of here now, then they're going to call you, you know. So I definitely have a reputation in our area of I can get a box truck and I can get some people and I can get this stuff moved and especially some of this new stuff. We ended up making on those cabinets several thousand dollars, putting them in our ministry, but then selling them as well for our school ministry. We've done rummages. Probably everything Brother Monty donated, we rummaged, you know. But we've done rummages, you know, in a week, made $3,000 for our school ministry. It takes $107,000 approximately a year just for our school ministry to function. And again, we have to raise about 40% of that. So we do a lot of things to try to steward that well. So we did receive that Lowe's Heroes grant. We just applied, and if you're in church ministry, this is a really good foundation. I encourage you to apply at. It's called the Oldham Little Church Foundation. Oldham is really how I would say it, but they say Oldham Little Church Foundation. And they do completion grants. So So what that means is, and the average award, the average grant amount is about $7,800. I just talked to Lisa last week, and I've talked to her on and off for the last 6 months or so about different things. But my buddy Aaron Smith in Mobile, Alabama, just received a grant from them. Churches all over the country. Now, it's a, you know, smaller church would qualify, and to them, a smaller church is 200 or 300, you know, anywhere from 40 to 200 or 300. So most of us would qualify for that. But it's a completion grant, so they want to know how much money do you have raised already for whatever that project is. We're trying to renovate our bathrooms. I'd like us to have the nicer style tile and then tile up the walls and things. So we went and got estimates and did some of the footwork there and submitted that to them. So you know, if you've got a couple, $3,000 or $4,000 towards a $10,000 project and you apply, send that grant in, they're likely to give you the $5,000 or $6,000 you need to get that done. So Lisa's a very easy person to work with. And you do a lot of that on the internet. Now let me tell you, if you write grants, There's a lot of footwork involved in that. There's a lot of thought. You really have to compose it well. In any kind of communication, you have to consider your audience. This one I mentioned is obviously a faith-based one. But if you write to some of the bigger outfits in our area, like CICF, which is Central Indiana Community Foundation, or the Indianapolis Foundation, or the Legacy Fund, they are secular. So you choose your words wisely. You're not going to probably have a lot of Bible verses in it necessarily. You don't want to soften what you're trying to do. My purpose statement in all of those, you're asked to give a mission statement, is very clearly to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, you use words like community. You use words that appeal to the grant writer. So, writing grants, here's what I was trying to say, and that is, a lot of people make the mistake of saying, well, I want to grow my ministry, and I think we need new bathrooms right now, so I'm going to go get a loan for the new bathrooms. We don't have money, but I can go get a loan. And they do the footwork of getting a loan. And it's an easy way to do it. Our church has a little bit of debt, and so I understand the whole loan concept. You sit with somebody, a loan professional, and they will make you go through all this paperwork, and they'll show you what to sign, and they'll run your credit, and with somebody, they like do most of the work. You just got to answer the questions. It's a pretty easy thing to just go get a loan to get something done. And I think that appeals to a lot of people in ministry, as opposed to writing a grant to go get something done, because somebody leads you through it. The loan officer leads you through it. The tough part about writing a grant is you've got to lead yourself through it. You've got to do all the footwork and the legwork to get it done. And it can be cumbersome and it can be annoying, and a lot of people say, we don't need the bathrooms that bad, The hardest thing about grant writing, in my opinion, is finding the foundation. To me, when my buddy Aaron Smith told me about Oldham Little Church Foundation, that's awesome to me. To me, that might be the best thing I've said to any of you right now is those people, because that's, $5,000 or $7,000 just waiting to come to your ministry. That foundation is looking for people that are smaller churches that want to finish a project and give money towards. They'll give you money for signs. They'll give you money for finishing auditoriums or whatever it is. To me, the hardest part of grant writing is not necessarily the composition of the application, but it's just finding the foundations that are of like interest. We've got Walmart grants. The Walmart Foundation, they're trying to give away money. If you go into any Walmart, you'll see non-for-profit, who they gave to, and it'll say they gave to the Boys and Girls Club $1,000, and they gave $1,500 to this or that place. It used to be pretty easy at Walmart. Every year for several years in a row, I would apply at Walmart and get a Walmart grant, and it used to be an 8.5 by 11. You just fill it out almost while you're in there, and you turn into the store manager. Now they've changed it so that, it's 5 minutes worth of work, and they'll send you $1,000. You have to wait a couple months, but... yes, sir?
On your advice, we did that with Walmart to help finance our Klaus family Christmas, and they did. The money came in after that. There was a couple months of silence, but the money came in after that. It was our first attempt to ever write for a grant.
Yeah. It's neat. You'll get from Walmart sometimes $500, sometimes $1,000, sometimes $1,500, depending on what you ask for. And again, you consider your audience. The way it works now, it's not a. Is my time done? Am I getting close to time? I don't know what time I'm supposed to stop.
Good.
The Walmart thing, you got to consider your audience, and I was saying now it's all on the internet, so now I still try to go face to face. The store manager at our Walmart in Muncie, just a few miles away, less than a mile away from our ministry, seems like they change every 6 or 8 months. The store manager is constantly changing. If you look at your receipt, it tells you the name of the store manager. So I don't know the current one because he's only been there just a couple months, but when I would apply for Walmart grants, I would still always go to the store manager. I found this out. That the store manager is the one that makes the final decision. So if you have a relationship with the Walmart store manager, that's a good thing because he will determine those kinds of things ultimately. They do send it out to the Walmart Foundation, and the Walmart Foundation looks it over. But the human resources director there at Walmart also has stuff to do with that decision-making process. So it's good for you to know those kind of people. Our school ministry at one time had several Walmart employees sending their students, their kids to our school, and so we were able to cultivate that relationship. Newsletters are good things when you think about stewarding your non-for-profit. Developing contacts and relationships is just so important. And really, you know, it's a common term to those that are in the non-profit world, but it's a constituency. You know, cultivating a constituency is a very important thing. You can do that through social media. You can do that through newsletters. There's lots of different ways to do it. But it can be very lucrative for your ministry, and it can help further the cause of Christ. People come into our auditorium now, and they say, wow. You know, I had no idea that this building was so big and that this was so nice, and on and on. People are really pleased. That again, that ministry is 60 years old, so you know, they had the older style paneling and they had these huge banners. One was green on this side of the auditorium, green and gold, and one was purple and gold on this side of the auditorium. Just really outdated, and so it was a prayer of ours. Lord, help us to be able to renovate this. We have $0, but we need drywall and we need screens, and we desire screens, and we want all these things, you know, and the Lord provided every step of the way. I don't know how to do drywall. I've learned a lot about plumbing and electrical and drywall and all that. I can do a lot of that type of stuff. I don't do it well, but I understand a lot of it. Anyhow, the Lord provided not only the drywall for us for that event, but a drywall finisher, supposedly the best one in Delaware County. That's what people say, the best one in Delaware County. So he came and he got up on a ladder, brought a buddy, and they did all that type of drywall work, mudding for us. We have a painter in our church, so he painted it all for us. I mean, we did thousands of dollars worth of renovation to our auditorium for nothing. You know, maybe a couple $100 is all it ended up costing us. So people go to college to become development directors. So in 30 minutes, I try to tell you a lot about that stuff. Yes, sir?
Can I share some things?
Yes.
Just to keep the fire under your feet. I mean, everything you say, I say amen. One of the things we've done in Tipton is we've joined the Chamber of Commerce. And what that does for us is it gives us, like you said, James, a network of people to be in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
And we, and Vicki, who is the chamber director, she, because we're a member, we get all the emails of all the vendors, businesses in Tipton County, of what they offer businesses and churches and organizations. So when there's something going on in town, I can go there and I might be able to network with someone and get a service provided for little or nothing. Another thing, too, that Pastor Rob, my youth pastor, associated us with is there's an organization called NAIR. I don't know if you've heard of it. You join it, it's like $100 for life. And they send you a catalog every month, and you can get pens and paper and office supplies and stuff for little or nothing.
Sure.
Now, you have to pay, but it includes shipping, and they'll ship it right to your church. Example, we got 100 pens or 1,000 pens last month for $5. $10.
That's great, yeah.
So there is a fee, and some of it, but most of it, it's what it is. It's reject items that companies like Lowe's and Walmart can't sell, so they give it to NAIR, and then they resell it through the catalogs at a discounted rate.
Yeah, that's good.
So N-A-I-R.
N-A-I-R, I think. So see Pastor Rob. He can give you information, but you have to join it. But it's a once-in-a-lifetime fee. I think it's like $100 to join it. Then you get the catalog every month, and you can order what you want through the catalog if it's something you need. From sunglasses to glasses to speakers for a stereo system to office supplies.
That's good. Yeah, Dan Evans has a similar relationship like that. He pays $500 a year to be a part of a situation like that. What's it called? Well, yeah, it's a gifts in kind concept, but he pays $500 a year. He gets box truck loads of Office Depot cast-offs, and it's all new in a package. I mean, it's very similar to that. So, yeah, there's the agencies out there like that you can get a part of.
So I've seen you in the last 6 years say, okay, we've got enough money to recarpet the hallway, but then you will go to a carpet guy and say, would you donate 2 rooms of carpet?
Right.
That kind of thing. So just making a small purchase, but asking.
Yeah. We're very good at Temple Baptist Church at getting things donated except cash. It's really odd how hard it is to get cash, but we can get a lot of other stuff. So anyhow, I think that's my time. Anybody have any other questions or thoughts?
Jonathan,
sir?
By the way, he's a good resource for stuff. Okay, if I need stuff, I call him and I say, for instance, I need a church organ. So I said, I need a church organ. So he found a church organ. He got it donated to himself. So we gave him $1,500 for it, and it served for 3 or 4 or 5 years, something like that. And then I got a different church organ recently, so then I called him to come pick up the other church organ that I had taken for, and now he's going to resell that. So if you need a church organ, see him. They'll give you a good deal.
Thank you. You're dismissed. Thank you, brother.
You can go ahead and keep that on. And
oh, yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir.
No trouble getting you started. The thing wasn't working right. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's all right. Yes, sir.
Which one are we going to after that?